Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is understanding and managing food trauma. My guest is Tammy Falkenflik, movement and energy specialist from St. Petersburg, Florida, in the US. Welcome back on the show, Tammy.
Thank you so much, Mariëtte. It's a pleasure and joy to be here today.
Yes, and once again, it's so wonderful to be talking across all these miles.
Oh my gosh, it sure is.
To our listeners, during our conversation, Tammy will give us tips for loved ones on how they can support someone experiencing food trauma. And after our conversation, it will be fun question time. Tammy, would you tell us about your work?
Absolutely. So what I do is I weave past traumas into a wonderful new story of hope for your present and future tapestry. I focus on those with chronic pain that is unresolved through the medical community using movement and energy modalities. I intuitively utilize the tools best suited to each session to draw from the following skills: Pilates, yoga, crystal healing, Reiki 3, global healing, and Akashic records. Though my focus is chronic pain, I work with anyone and everyone can benefit. If you or your loved ones suffer from chronic pain, I encourage you to take my mystery chronic pain archetype quiz on my website.
Yes, and here I'd like to mention that you and I have done an episode on chronic mystery pain, and I'll attach that to this podcast.
Marvelous. Thank you so much.
Tammy, you've experienced food trauma yourself, and we'll touch on that later in our conversation. But I'd like to start by asking you, how would you define trauma?
So trauma is an event or series that are caused by, you know, intentional emotional distress. Each person has history that they draw from, whether it's from their current life, their ancestral line, or their past life. And all of those help to, combine to create or manifest the trauma that each person experiences in their lifetime.
What then is food trauma?
So food trauma, from my perspective, is an unhealthy relationship with food, whether it's overeating, undereating, you know, being a very picky eater. You know, they are stem from that intense emotional distress, correct? So all trauma is that emotional distress, and food trauma is like a narrower pathway around the particular trauma that food can hold. And for many, it's like outside the scope because it's so very narrow.
And what could cause food trauma?
Well, there's a lot of overlap in eating disorders that hold both a mental and emotional challenge for the person experiencing them. And they are very real diseases and should be treated as such. Trauma in all forms can be debilitating. Acknowledging it and accepting it, asking for assistance, is the ultimate goal from a loved one's experience. Much like alcoholism is a disease, it is also often unrecognizable to the person addicted. The same can hold true for eating disorders. And if we approach them in that manner, we can bring in more compassion. I've also found through my own journey and my work that food trauma is often connected to mother wounds and inner child wounds, though it's not limited to those.
Good. I hope we're going to hear more about that a little later. Which signs or symptoms point to food trauma?
Well, very picky eaters, overeating, undereating, you know, eating and then expelling your food, doing like a tremendously long fast without, you know, the proper medical overview to ensure that you're, you know, not damaging your body through the fast.
And what would you say are the short-term effects of food trauma?
Well, one of the most startling and a bit frightening ones are the lack of proper nutrition and how it breaks down, you know, all of your systems break down from not having the proper nutrients.
And then the long-term effects?
So the long-term effects, nutrition, of course, continues to degrade if you're not offering your body the nutrients it needs. Our bodies are miraculous machines when they're provided those nutrients. Think of trying to drive your vehicle without gas. When you do that, you can create damage to every single system in your vehicle. The same holds true for our bodies. Every system breaks down without that proper nutritional support. And the longer there is a deficit, the deeper the underlying trauma, the more the physical effects can be seen in, you know, by others. Yet there is definitely hope for those needing assistance to heal. For my 20s and my 30s, I would often comment that I felt like I was in my 80s or 90s. I offered my body so few nutrients in the way of support that I ached all the time from all the inflammatory foods I consumed. I struggled with mental clarity and focus, and I was angry, so, so angry. As I began cleaning up my diet, the aches and mind fog began to lift, and some clarity returned during my late 30s and early 40s. I'm now nearly 60 with the odd ache or pain, which is, quite frankly, stems from the aggressive use of my body.
Tammy, what made you aware of this situation? Because you've just said that people who experience food trauma are often not aware of it themselves. So how did you discover that you had to take another turn and do something else?
Well, I knew that I had an unhealthy relationship with food, and that stemmed from, you know, my childhood and my trauma food story. And I will go ahead and explain how I was presented with a food trauma story. So from as young as I can remember, I was opposed to eating meat. Though articulating this was another story. I didn't care for the flavor, the texture, or the smell. While growing up, this was totally unacceptable to my mother. Therefore, I sat at the dinner table nearly every evening until bedtime, looking at congealed meat I couldn't force down. For me, this rolled into an aversion to most things served with the meat. I am still a picky eater, although it was nothing like before I began my healing journey. This presentation from my mother taught me that I wasn't good enough as I was. It taught me to escape and to be small. To many, this may sound pretty dramatic. However, I'm a highly sensitive empath. I had no tools or understanding of being this highly sensitive empath. So I absorbed all of my mother's and everyone around me. I absorbed their disapproval, every negative feeling, and made them my own, along with everyone who surrounded me. Prior to my own journey, when speaking on diet, I would tell people my main food group was chocolate. Most people thought it was kidding, but I was not. I do my level best to hold compassion for each individual I encounter, and especially those suffering, while sending healing, loving energy to them. People tend to judge what is different or is outside understanding, which I have been guilty of as well. So I intend to minimize fostering my filter on others and situations, particularly when the facts are unknown to me.
Yes, and being an empath, I suppose you also have more of a sense of what other people are going through than many of us.
Yes. Yes, I feel the emotions of people surrounding me. And when I am in my work zone, it's heightened even further because that's my intention.
Yeah. How can you help someone experiencing food trauma?
So I would start by validating that what they feel is real and letting them know that they are heard. Compassion is paramount to approaching trauma. There's always a surface layer of emotion which guides a starting point for healing. Mine was anger. Did I mention how super angry I was? I really was. I mean, that was an acceptable feeling in an acceptable emotion in my household. So supporting feelings can help them remove the fight or flight response. Depending on the trauma combined with the individuals themselves, determines how I approach each session. The main tool that I use in my trauma work is the Akashic Records, which is a very powerful healing modality for the soul. But it also addresses all of the four bodies, which are physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. They are extremely powerful, yet gentle. I work closely with the higher self of a client, and the higher self assists me intuitively addressing and clearing what the individual is able to clear and heal. Healing is a spiral. So we may believe that we have fully healed something, and what we have actually addressed is the layers that we were capable of addressing each time it pops up. So there's always, almost always, a deeper layer.
And Tammy, if someone tells you they have never heard of the Akashic Records, how would you explain it to them?
So I like to think of it as an energetic library, or to use a more modern comparison, it's like the World Wide Web, right? So the Akashic Records hold every aspect of one's soul, from the beginning of time to the end of time. So everything that has happened, is happening, or will happen are part of the records. So you tap into those and, you know, you address the trauma points and the emotions for healing. Does that answer your question fully?
Yes, thank you. Could you perhaps offer an example of, let's say, the reason behind someone's trauma? Or it doesn't need to be food trauma specifically, but maybe you could just give an example of what you would find out and how that would help a client.
Okay. One of my most impressive cases is a woman who came to me with debilitating sciatica pain that she suffered for about 13 months. So she was using, you know, the standard chiropractic massage drugs. She tried all of those things, and they were mostly just band-aiding. Like a massage would get her to her next chiropractor appointment, which would get her to her next massage. You know, so she was spending a lot of time and money just like patching herself up. And she finally decided she wanted to try something different. So we started working together, knowing that that sciatica was her presentation. And that stems from the back, which is where first we push everything behind us that we are incapable or unwilling to address. So if you have problems in the backside of your body, that is an indication of something that you might be ready to heal, even though you don't know how to heal it. And in my client's case, her main focused emotion that we needed to address was anger. And having mentioned that anger is very familiar to me,
yes,
it was a pretty easy it was a pretty easy segue for me to understand how that anger was being stored and affecting her. So then we went through and started clearing the anger, and you know, while she explained her story of trauma, I could hear how angry she was. And so we started clearing and working on that trauma. And as we started clearing the layers, she started feeling better. And in about, I think it was maybe 2 months of one session a week, she had no sciatica pain presenting.
That's wonderful.
Yes, yes. Her trauma was based on an argument that she had with a family member 30 years ago.
Goodness.
Yeah, so she stored a lot of anger. And her, you know, she finally, her higher self is like, you know, you need to deal with this, and I'm going to give you this, or, you know, you're going to have this presentation of sciatica pain until you address it.
Yeah.
And now one of the segues on that is when she does get a presentation of sciatica, she now knows to look for what is making her angry or frustrated or upset. And then she can address that before it becomes a chronic thing. Mm-hmm. So it's an early warning system now.
Mm. Yeah, that's very sensible. And when you were talking about your work earlier on, you mentioned specific techniques. Do you want to say more about the techniques?
Well, sure. Pilates and yoga are, well, Pilates is my bedrock. It's where I began my own healing journey. And, you know, movement is a healer. But I was finding that I was missing something key for myself. And that turned out to be the energy modalities. So I started with the Pilates, and then I added the yoga. And, you know, those pieces I use to hold you in a posture, like say you're my client who was having this debilitating sciatica, I would put her in a position that would intentionally work her low back so that the energy would start moving. And, you know, so I'm doing energy work while she's in this posture to make the depth of the scenario heal more quickly. And I have also, with this client, had her carry certain stones, crystals that are healers, you know, that are like one of the main things I use for her was malachite, which is a pain relieving crystal. So, you know, there's not a set tried and true option for any trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So my intuitive skills guide me on, you know, if it is a crystal healing that is needed, maybe a Reiki session, which can be a little bit, they can still be very powerful, but they seem from me to be less overwhelming to a client when I use that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the intuitive, allowing my intuition to guide me, makes the session what's for the highest and greatest good of the client each time we meet.
Yes. And I know you create a blueprint for clients. What does this mean?
So healing is not linear. The blueprint actually becomes more like a flow chart. And we've all had to deal with flow charts. You know, so you start, and I'll use my client with the anger. Are you angry? If the answer is yes, then you're still working on clearing and reframing the story behind the anger. If the answer is no, then there's another emotion, like say grief, right? Grief of lost time, grief of all of the stressful interactions with family based around this argument. If there's I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. What comes up a lot of times is, underlying the surface emotions are not good enough. And that's something that I have found, of course, in myself and also in every client that I've ever worked with to some extent or another. We all have that strain of not good enough. This allows us to dig deeper and deeper into the underlying trauma in question. There's a very small percentage of humanity that is truly healed at any point in time. So, you know, if you come in to work with someone like myself, understand it's a journey. It's not, you know, you'll do 5 sessions or 10 sessions and be healed. Now, you may find that for yourself, that's all you're interested in doing, but know that it is a continual progressive journey for healing.
Yes, I think it's a lifelong process.
Absolutely.
Tammy, I want to ask, you did mention that loved ones may often see that someone has food trauma when the person themselves don't see it. Do you have any advice for a loved one on how to, in a gentle way, get the person to go and seek help?
Well, showing compassion, trying to understand, having patience and love. You know, when we can accept that we don't understand what a loved one is going through, but that we can validate their feelings and emotions that they're going through, then our ego is removed and we can truly support the loved one through whatever they're trying to manage, whether they understand it's something they're managing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I also would say, please know that both you and your loved one are going to slip up during this process. And so have compassion for yourself and your loved one when that happens, right? So you're going to judge. They may slip back into their food trauma. Something may trigger them and they slip back into the food trauma. It's part of the healing process. You know, it's an ebb and flow. It's that spiral. So the healing journey, again, is that it's a process. So gentle encouragement of the behavior that you want to see in the loved one is going to be challenging at first, but it takes the judgment out over time. And also a final point would be to redirect, as you might a toddler, is a very effective way. You know, like someone maybe looks in the mirror and you know, you see them as super slender, but they see themselves as fat. So you don't want to say, oh, you're not fat, because people tell them that all the time. And it doesn't matter because that's not what they see. So you might say something like, you have the most magical eyes I've ever seen. Offer a compliment to allow them to, I'm getting all emotional. I'm a feeler. But, you know, offering the redirection, the compliment of something that they're less likely to want to argue with. Because if you say, you're not fat, don't need to lose weight, they're going to come back with, yes, I do. I'm huge. I'm fat. I'm ugly, whatever. But if you tell someone they have beautiful hair or gorgeous eyes or, you know, an arresting smile, that is going to start building their confidence and distracting them from, I mean, hopefully it will depend on their willingness to hear you as well, of course. And that's again, comes over time. So constant repetition of things that they won't argue with, you know, even if it's like that color is stunning on you, right? There's so many ways you can compliment someone that compliment their looks without bringing their weight as a factor into it. For all trauma, addressing it with compassion and love and understanding is going to enhance the healing journey for the loved one, whether that loved one is yourself or someone else. And that is, you know, an aside here, is loving yourself is key to healing. And that was one of my stumbling blocks, because I had so much anger and so much not good enough energy that it took a long while for me to actually see my positive qualities.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life. By interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. This section, Up Close and Personal, on my website, offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can express your love for your partner, leave a legacy to your children or grandchildren, honor your mum or dad or a mentor. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Tammy, when you talk about Reiki and the other techniques you use, can you use these online?
Absolutely. The energy is extremely powerful. I kind of think of it like radio waves, right? So if I'm working with someone in, say, Scotland, I'm dialing into their energy where they are. I'm sweeping my radio dial until I tune into them correctly, if that makes sense. We've all had to, well, I don't know, maybe not anymore. but it is like that. It's like radio waves or microwaves. They're around us all of the time. And if you have the tools, like you're broadcasting from a radio station, then those people who know where you are can find you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that's how energy healing works across long distances or short distances. I mean, I could work with someone in a house next door, and it's not any less powerful than Scotland or South Africa or Canada.
Mm. Where can listeners learn more about your work?
I have a website, which is my name, TammyFolkenflick.com. And I have my packages under Work with Tammy. And I have your interview that we did in the past on my website, and, you know, little blurbs about myself and more depth on what I do.
Thank you. And you're quite active on LinkedIn.
Yes, I am. That's correct. Thank you.
Tammy, before I ask you your fun question, was that Happy that was barking in the background?
Yes, that was Happy.
Yeah.
She's She's a sweet little blind and deaf rescue, and she's not with me, so she's barking. So I apologize for you hearing that.
No, I'm saying that must have been happy because I did an up close and personal article with you, and it's on my website. And if listeners want to see a very sweet doggy face, then they can go to your article and they will see what happy looks like.
Oh, perfect. Yes. She's still barking.
Yeah, she is. May I ask you your fun question?
Awesome. Okay.
Here's your question. If you could dress for a fun day, Tammy, what would you wear and which activities would your fun day include?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I would start out in a bathing suit going paddleboarding. Then I would change into workout gear and do some acro yoga.
That sounds delectable. And I can just inform listeners that in your up close and personal article, you also talk about acro yoga, which I never knew about. And there is one or two pictures, so they can go and take a look there if they're wondering about it.
Yes.
Thank you, Tammy, for alerting me, and I'm sure many listeners, to food trauma and trauma in general and how it can be approached. And what I really appreciated was the advice you have for loved ones, that one goes about this gently and try to speak to the person you would like to support in a way that they can hear you.
Thank you, Mariette. It's always a pleasure and a joy to communicate with you, and to be a guest on your podcast is a true honor.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear, and Helpful is produced by me, with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.